We'll be looking at Colossians chapter 1, verse 11 to 20 in just a moment, but you might like to have that ready. Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 to 20. Well, how's 2015 been? 16. Thank you. See, you. Now I'm encouraged. I know you're paying attention. There you are. I made a mistake. We're one all. Today is the last Sunday of 2016. Oh, no, it isn't. It is if you're. It is in the church year. Today is the last Sunday in the church year today. And this Sunday in the church calendar is called Christ the King Sunday. And you're probably thinking, well, every Sunday is a Christ the King Sunday, isn't it? And yes, so it is. But next Sunday is the first Sunday in Advent. And Advent Sunday is the first Sunday of the year in the Christian calendar. You're looking confused. If you think about it, it's a good way to start. It's a liturgical year, so the set of readings that the church use, Revised Common Lectionary, is the one that we most often use here. It's the one that's most commonly used in the Protestant churches, and that's a set of readings. It's a three-year cycle of readings, and we're just coming to the end of year C, and I knew you'd be interested in that, and year A starts next week. And over the course of 3 years, you see, if you follow the lectionary, you can get through pretty much most of the Bible. Now, we don't always stick with that, but through these important past times, it's good discipline for us to do that. Because, you see, today, lots of churches of different flavors and different styles in different places around the world, lots of churches will be looking at the same text as us. Lots of churches will look at Colossians chapter 1, and lots of churches will look at Jeremiah 23, and there were some gospel readings as well that went into that. So there's a very unifying thing, for me at least, in this idea that to get together, the wider church is considering the kingship of Jesus, the sovereignty of Jesus, the Christ the King Sunday. Lots of people reflecting on that today. See, our worship isn't in isolation. Our worship is joined with the rest of the Christian church. Our worship is joined in heaven. It talks about that in the Bible. When we worship, heaven worships. And we're kind of caught up into this whole sense of what it means to be God's people. So today we're looking at the sovereignty of Jesus, the kingship of Jesus. Every now and again, as I make my way in Australia, as I walk this beautiful land, every now and again stuff happens to remind me that I don't really belong here. There's nothing like a visit to Service New South Wales to put you in your place. I can tell that some of you have been. So when I came to Australia, in its wisdom, the state of New South Wales took away from me 7 of the 9 driving categories I have in Europe. And it left me driving a car, which is very useful, and they said I could still ride a motorcycle, which I'd love to do but can no longer afford to do. And they took away all my minibus driving and various other bits and pieces that you get if you have a European driving license. So I thought, well, it's been a while. It's time I reapplied for some of those things. So I went into Service New South Wales and going for an exercise upgrading my driving license. I handed over my very nice yellow driving license, and a very helpful lady tapped a few keys and looked at me. She said, "Is this still a temporary address?" I said, "Excuse me? Your address, it says here that you're only a temporary resident." I said, "Well, that's the only address I've got to live at, and I don't plan on moving out of it anytime soon." "But you're not a permanent resident of Australia," says she. "No," says me, "I'm not, but I live here, I work here, I pay some sort of taxes here, and I also drive here. And I have nowhere else to call home right now, and that's my address. So she says, but you're not a permanent resident of Australia. So I said, well, when you think about it, none of us is a permanent resident anywhere. And it's at times like that when I wished I carried with me always this. For this is the most powerful document on the face of the planet. This is a European Union British passport. Anyone else got one? Yeah, one. Well, bless you. You are privileged. I'm glad I got this out for today because I need to renew it. And, of course, if I leave it too long, it'll only be UK only. See, inside this very important document are written these very important words. Her Britannic Majesty's Secretary of State requests and requires in the name of Her Majesty all those whom it may concern, that includes Service New South Wales, all those whom it may concern to allow the bearer to pass freely without let or hindrance and to afford the bearer, that is me, such assistance and protection as may be necessary. The Queen says I should get helped. Now, in interest of balance and fairness, I looked inside one of the Australian passports in our house, and you actually do have a similar kind of statement in yours. But it's only the Governor General that says it on behalf of the Queen, and mine's in cursive script, so it's much better. You see, our citizenship of whatever country we call home affords us rights and responsibilities and protection. Throughout history, people have always appealed to their rights as a citizen of wherever. Acts 22 tells the story of Paul being arrested in Jerusalem, who then uses the fact that he was a Roman citizen to not just avoid trouble, but to make sure he had a legal and fair hearing. To be a Roman citizen was prized above all else. Anyone could travel across the known world in the Roman Empire, and if you could say, Civis Romanus sum, I am a Roman citizen, you had to say it in Latin, Civis Romanus sum. If you could say that, then you could travel across the empire in safety because you were under the protection of Caesar himself. But today in our world, in the Western world particularly, we're not terribly interested in claiming the protection of another ruler, even the Queen. We are proud of being individuals. I have rights just because I have rights, not because the Queen says I do. Our world has become very individualistic. Victorian poet William Ernest Henley wrote the poem Invictus, perhaps best known for these lines, where he says, I am the master of my fate, I am the captain of my soul. Very individualistic picture. And you and I can appeal to our nationhood, to our individuality, but both of those things are important. There's nothing wrong with being patriotic. But the only citizenship that ultimately matters is citizenship in the kingdom of God under the eternal and powerful lordship of Jesus Christ. It's not about you, it's not about me, it's about him. So on this Christ the King Sunday, we think about what it means to belong, to be citizens of the kingdom of heaven. I think we need it. It's not Christmas yet. The Ladies' Fellowship may think otherwise as they have their meal tomorrow, but it's not Christmas yet. It's not even Advent. There are 12 days of Christmas and none of them are in November. But if you think about what's actually going on in Advent, Advent is about the expectation of Jesus coming. Jesus coming in human frailty as a child. Advent's also about reflecting on the second coming of Jesus in power and glory as well. But it's that sense of expectation. And then Christmas will come, just 12 days of it. And with Christmas comes little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. You see, You can do Advent and you can do Christmas, and if you think about it, we don't actually hear from Jesus at all in those things. Because in Advent he's coming, and in Christmas, well, we might hear from him, but we hear from him as a child. And we can miss the cosmic significance of what all this is about. So I think it's a good thing that we have this Christ the King, this idea where we think about this cosmic Christ who stands supreme over all of that. And when we look at the child in the manger, we also have to see the eternal risen Lord of all history. But it's hard for us to do that. It's hard for us to contain all that in our heads. See, Christmas, we'll hear from angels. We'll hear from Mary, Joseph, shepherds, wise men, Herod. And actually, I once saw a nativity play that didn't have a baby Jesus at all, because someone left him at home. But we're reminded today, on this Christ the King Sunday, that this child that we will worship soon at Christmas time is the Lord of all history, the one who was present in the very act of creation. And St. Paul has written for us in his letter to the Colossian church a beautiful hymn, but also a prayer about how we understand that for ourselves. It's really getting on my nerves. So turn with me, if you would, please. Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 11 to 20. So Paul has given a thanksgiving prayer, and he's asking that the people who read this letter would be filled with the knowledge of who God is. And then we pick it up in verse 11. He prays that we would be being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. The image you can't get away from is the supremacy of Jesus. And Paul prays that the Colossians and you and I who read this today would be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power. And then unpacks for us what some of that power is. The image of the invisible God. God who lives in unapproachable light has drawn near to us in the person of Jesus. If you want to know what God is like, then we look at him. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, all things created through him and for him. So in some tremendous mystery, the eternal Son of God wasn't just sitting around when God the Father created everything, but the acts of creation was done by a Trinitarian God, each person in the Godhead, intricately involved, active. And the one who comes to us, the one who came and shared life with people like you and me, who learned his earthly father's trade of carpentry, making things out of wood, was actually the one who invented wood in the first place. And absolutely everything that exists in the natural world, in the physical world, as well as everything that exists in the spiritual world, was made through him and, importantly, for him. Creation's purpose, to give glory to the Creator. That purpose hasn't changed. Your sin and mine has clouded it a little, but the purpose hasn't changed. And today we look to Jesus and we see his absolute supremacy over everyone and everything. Our imagery of him at this time of year tends to be of frailty, a helpless baby in a manger. And Advent will give way to Christmas, will give way to Epiphany, will give way to Lent, and then we'll be looking at a frail, beaten, bloodied man on a wooden cross, contemplating a broken body in a tomb. But look past all of that, and all of that's important, but look past all that and see standing over it a risen, living, loving, conquering Christ, the firstborn from the dead and the one whose kingdom and rule surpasses all others, past, present, and future, because that's the kingdom you belong to. That's the kingdom you belong to. And no matter what you're journeying through in your life, whatever you're struggling with at the moment, whatever things that you are having to work through and wrestle with, now all those things and all that brokenness find their completeness in him. All those things can be repaired and renewed in him. And it's not about who you are, it's about who you are in Christ that makes the difference. In him we find our fullest identity. In him we find our fullest purpose. In him we find meaning and significance. And if you're struggling with meaning and significance and purpose, then I want to gently suggest that maybe that's because we're not seeking our identity in him. And we're not taking hold of our citizenship in his kingdom. As if you look to earthly things to provide all that stuff, they may work for a while, but they will ultimately fail. Christ the King, it's about his supremacy. But it's also about his servanthood. Jesus himself says, Mark 10:45, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Servanthood is a key component of Christ's kingship, a key characteristic of anyone who comes under his rule and realm. And in this prayer, Paul prays that you and I, verses 11 and 12, will be able to endure everything with patience whilst joyfully giving thanks to the Father. Endure everything with patience whilst giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you and me to share the inheritance of the saints. It's not really a posture of arrogance, is it? A posture of gratitude and humility, a posture of serving and being grateful for serving. It's the posture of Jesus himself, through whom God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things. All things. That doesn't just include fixing the world. That means fixing you and me. All things includes us. The one through whom God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things by making peace through the blood of his cross. Creator dies for creation. From wooden feeding trough to wooden cross, the carpenter king dies a ransom for many, for you, for me, and makes peace between us and God. And if you're struggling with peace in your life, you'll only truly know that by knowing him and knowing your place in his kingdom. And Christ's kingship is also about shepherding. Shepherds turn up all the time in the Bible. In the Gospels, we tend to have a bit of a dim view of shepherds. Every Christmas preaching series makes the point, and rightly, that shepherds are pretty much the lowest in society, outcasts. And yet, when you read through the Old Testament imagery, shepherding is important. Earthly kings were supposed to be shepherds of their people. Earthly rulers were supposed to care for and nurture their people. Earthly rulers still are. you and I look at contemporary political processes in our day, and whilst there are many well-intentioned people in public service, somehow we just know, don't we? A lot of that gets corrupted by political process and power. And ultimately we know that earthly systems and structures will let us all down. We need rescuing. We need shepherding. We need a saviour. All of us has made a mess of something, a fractured relationship here, a wrong path there, and none of us can make it into a blissful eternity with God on our own. But the good news of Jesus is a person, not just an announcement. You know that, don't you? The good news of Jesus is the person of Jesus. He is the good news. Truth is a person, not a thing. Peace is about him, not just an abstract concept. The eternal king of the eternal kingdom is Jesus, who invites you and I to come under his rule today. For he has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. That's the promise that Paul reminds his readers about. That's the prayer he invites his readers to participate in. And it's the prayer still that you and I can participate in today. Because if that's not your experience, if you cannot say that you know you have been transferred from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his Son, then that can be your experience today. And I urge you that it should be. See, you may or may not belong. You might just be passing through Australia as I am. The truth is, we're all just passing through. Our citizenship is temporary, wherever it might be. The citizenship that matters is the citizenship of the kingdom. And the eternal King Jesus invites you and I to come under his rule today. So today, on this final Sunday of the church year, before we begin this season of Advent and preparation, which begins next week, just look back at what Jeremiah was writing about in chapter 23, which was read for us a little bit earlier. Because there's a promise here, which applies just as much to you and me as it did to exiled Israel. Earthly shepherds have let you down, says Jeremiah, and earthly shepherds still will. Even the earthly shepherds who are religious leaders and pastors. Sorry to break that to you. They'll all let you down. But the days are coming when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Saviour. The eternal shepherd is coming to sort out earthly shepherds and coming to bring rescue to you and to me. So today, may you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power. May you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks. And may you know the experience of rescue, that the power of darkness has no hold over you, because you've been transferred by the King into the kingdom of light. The Lord bless you.